than murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, here we are. It's a Purple Friday preview once again. The Ravens are getting ready to go up against Kansas City and the Chiefs. Who's going to be leading the charge against the Chiefs? We're going to talk about that right now. So joining me, as always, my buddy Josh. Josh, what's going on, man? You ready for another Purple Friday?
I'm ready for another Purple Friday. I'm ready for another road game Sunday. I'm ready for it all, brother.
All right. Well, we got a big thing we got to start off with. Of course, let's talk about it. Joe Flacco, once again, limited in practice. That's 2 days this week as the injury report comes out. So I have to assume all signs point to Lamar Jackson being the starter. Joe might be the backup, or he might sit again. We don't know that. But as far as I'm concerned, Lamar's the guy for this game. He's healthy. He has won three straight. There's no way that you can sit him over a not 100% Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun and crazy topic to talk about, right?
Yeah, sure.
But he's just a name, Joe Flacco, and it might sound harsh for me coming in at that point, but everybody's on this notion. It's just like, just because you have a certain past or certain pedigree, you automatically should be handed the driver's seat. And it's a tough situation to be in. I mean, Harbaugh even dubbed it as a good situation to be in because he actually has three starting quarterbacks on the roster, and he can start any one of them. You know, and you can make the case if one's good, one's bad, but I look at it this way. I mean, what's transpired, you know, without going down the crazy rabbit hole here of recovering, you know, covering the last three games, but we already know what happened. We know the results. We know the stats. We know where we've been, and we know where we came from. And the way I see it, Brandon, last time Joe Flacco touched the ball, it was on the hinges of a three-game losing streak. Lamar Jackson touched the ball. Again, he's responsible for, you know, quarterback in the offense on that side of the ball, but he's responsible for three wins, whether it's him or the defense as a team. He's out there, starting quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens, under center, three straight wins. So, you know, two at home, one on the road. This is a big test, and I actually thought that Flacco would be back for this one. He's limited twice this week again, but it's Brandon. I just don't see it's just like, you know, let's say if Joe Flacco got hurt in week one or two, whatever. Okay, let's say Lamar Jackson got us in a playoff position, whatever our record is, like 10-2, whatever. Let's say we are up there, okay? If Joe Flacco comes back, you're automatically going to just say, okay, Joe, it's your job. I don't know, man, because I think once he got hurt, we were in this predicament that, okay, well, if Lamar plays bad and Joe's healthy, and you know, you want him to come back quick. But it was like, if Lamar played bad, we would play ourselves a playoff contention, so you're going to just shut Joe down anyway, right? So now that he's playing well, I just don't think you just necessarily just hand Joe the ball back over. I mean, yeah, look again, I don't want to keep comparing it and going back in the past, but you have to. Is Drew Bledsoe, he carries a name, he has a pedigree. Just because he's Drew Bledsoe don't mean, oh, you come back from then. I'm speaking of the Patriots way back in 2001, that, you know, you just automatically hand the keys back to him. Go, here you go, because things happen. And I look at it this way, man. I don't think Joe Flacco's in the Ravens' plans next year. We drafted Lamar for a reason. We're not going to pay Joe $27 million. That's why I would hope the team wouldn't, $27 million next year. So I feel like no matter what, you know, and we're already about four games left, and he's limited, so I expect him not to play. So it's three games. So let's say Lamar, a crazy scenario, and he wins again, an arrowhead on the road. You're 4-0. Joe's not coming back at all then. You just put the nail in the coffin for that. So it's a fun topic to talk about, but obviously I feel like this is the Lamar Jackson show and we're along for the ride. I don't think it's a question. I just don't think so. It's a tough topic to talk about. It's a fun topic to talk about because you really just don't know. You don't know if you throw Flacco in there, does the running game sustain? Yeah, I just put it this way, man. I don't know how you go with Joe given the success of the last three games. And again, you know, he's not going to be in the team next year. So I just don't see it. It's kind of thanks, but no thanks. But right now it's Lamar's show and he's doing an okay job right now. So what do you think, man?
You can't cut down a guy who's on a three-game win streak. You just can't do it. Let's see how he does against Kansas City. The only thing I'm going to say about the whole Joe Flacco situation is, like you said, what is it? How many millions of dollars is he making this year? Do you know, like off the top of your head, how much he's making just this year?
I'm looking that up as we speak, brother.
Is it like 27 million or
that's next year?
That's next year.
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, ball.
That's what he's due.
Yeah, ballpark figure. He's making close to 30 million, maybe over 30 million this year. That's a lot of money just to be sitting on your bench. So when he is 100% healthy, you know, I think you have to play him just because you need that return on that investment to come back now. But if Lamar wins this one four in a row, I mean, again, there's no way you can bench the guy. You can't, you got to go with the hot hand. So
right. What cap hit this year is 24.7 million.
So that's 24 million to sit on a bench and highest not play
on the team right now. And that's another thing people are barking at. Or is the highest paid? He's coming off the contract that he got paid with the Super Bowl. So y'all need to just relax. I mean, it ain't like the Ravens. It ain't like our work where it's like they give you a raise every year. It's his contract, and it's the way he structured it was backloaded. We all knew this was coming. That's why next year it's going to jump to 27 million. So yeah, he's 24.7. You know how big of a drop off it is to the next highest paid player in the team right now for
who's
the cap hit.
Who's the next highest?
Next highest is Jimmy Smith at 13.2 million.
That's a pretty big jump right there.
This is per sporttrack.com for the Ravens 2018 salary cap and the breakdown for the cap hits. Now, you go all the way down the list, obviously, with the rookies. Here we go. Let's see. Just to make it awesome. Because I'm looking at the players who are up and coming right now. So Matt Judon's been an X factor, right? His cap hit's only a measly $693,000.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yep. Okay.
But he's balling out, though. Lamar Jackson's cap hit is $1.7 million this year.
Yeah, you see, that's a far cry away from $24 million.
But here's the problem I have here. Okay, look. John Brown, $5 million against the cap hit. Michael, you know, Crabtree's $3.3 million cap hit. So it's like, when you look at the cap hits against these players, it's like these receivers are earning the money they are, and they've earned it. Obviously, they're NFL receivers. But the problem I have is here, even if you put Joe Flacco in, it ain't like we had like the top five passing offense in the league. I just don't get where people – I mean, yeah, he's a better passer. I'm not sitting here comparing, you know, we're going to pair arms. Yeah, Joe, if I was a passing attack, I want Joe Flacco in there. But I look back at the history when – we can't run the ball with Joe under center, especially this year. He hasn't, and granted, okay, he hasn't been under center basically with Gus Edwards, so we don't know. But Gus Edwards, Alex Collins didn't even break like 70 yards rushing in one game. We had a 27th ranked rushing attack with Joe in it, and for some reason, Marty loves to throw the football with Joe. And when Joe's in, we're throwing it 45 to 50 times, and we already know that's a recipe for disaster. Joe had a better go at it when we had a Ray Rice on the team and they had a run first attack and then he passed it. He's not a guy that's going to go for 350 yards and three touchdowns every week. He might throw for 3 1 week, but then might throw for one. And it's just how it goes. It's the inconsistency and he throws a lot. So, and then it's more susceptible to interceptions, as we all know. And because Lamar has the X factor of his feet and getting out of the pocket, scrambling and all that, Joe Flacco would take a lot more sacks. You don't know with the pressure that what the defense brings against the Ravens offensive line. You don't know that, hey, how many sacks would a stall drive? I would love to go back and rewatch the whole games again with Lamar in and go, how many third downs did he convert, whether it was his arm or his feet, and he avoided a sack where Joe Flacco probably would have taken a sack and you don't know. So that could have been a three and out or a drive staller. So there's the X factor I'm talking about, folks. It's, you know, I mean, I'm not saying, oh, we need a running quarterback at all times back there to avoid three and outs or sacks. Sacks are going to happen. Lamar got sacked. But the thing is, he gets out of it a lot, and he avoids them most times than not. Joe's not. And it's a liability when you need possessions, you need points. And like I said before in the last show, go back to the Saints game. We sputtered with a lot of stall drives because we couldn't convert. And, I mean, I'm not saying some of those were sack-based, but – you know, it's just the way I look at it. The dynamic of the game changed, and people don't like change. But, I mean, I'm a Flacco fan. How many times have I defended him on this show?
Oh, yeah, both of us. Both of us are big Flacco fans. Yeah. We've defended him, you know, when no one else was.
And we also put him down because we have to be real here. We can't just drink the purple Kool-Aid and think everything's fine. I mean, when we see some stuff going on, we got to call these guys out here. So, but you're right, man. I felt like I was the last one on earth. I'm always like – pulling up stats and then, oh, he has this many passing yards in his career and he has the playoff record and then, but yeah, but it's just time. And I think whether we want to or not, I think it's just hard to admit it. Like, I think it's just like, because you're holding on to that Super Bowl, you're holding on to the playoff success, but it's just not been there. And I feel like, you know, it's just now with the new regime, And with the 3-0 record now, with the new regime, with Gus Edwards and Lamar, you got to do it. But, yeah, Joe Flacco, to really come out of the gate strong with this kind of conversation here, I love it. It's good topic. But, yeah, $24 million now, he is the highest payer. Because that's what a lot of people are saying this week. I'm glad you brought that up. You might have heard some of the chatter. I've been hearing that, you know, even if Joe is healthy, how can you even bench him and when he's that big of a cap hit? But you're going to throw him out there and have a liability to lose a football game when you're playoff race. Like, I'd rather pay him $24 million to sit on the bench so we can win some games. W is far more value than owing somebody an NFL start because they're paid. I mean, he's getting paid regardless, whether he sits and wears his Charm City hoodie or he's in the game with a helmet on. He's getting paid, right? I mean, he ain't getting paid less by playing or not. I mean, I don't know how it's structured, but NFL, but I feel like, hey, it's your salary. He's getting paid regardless, you know? So, you know, it's run its course, but I feel like this attack, the Lamar Jackson effect, is best equipped to handle Kansas City because even if Joe Flacco's in and everybody keeps getting this in their minds that we got to go toe-in-toe with Kansas City. Are you kidding me, guys? We're not the Rams, and we're not the Saints. So cool your jets, because I don't know where you're getting that info. Because when did this team go toe-to-toe with anybody with Joe Flacco on the helm? I mean, I don't see it. They won in Pittsburgh in week 4 with ball control, and it was more Justin Tucker and defense did that. I mean, he put up 26 points, but it wasn't all Joe. So, I mean, we put up 26 points in Atlanta, but it was all Tucker. Tucker kicked 4 field goals, and Lamar ran the score, and then the defense scored. So, there you go. So, it's really hard to pinpoint that. It wasn't like, I mean, and I know they came out gangbusters in week 1 against the Bills on a rainy day, and I know they put up a lot of the points at halftime because, you know, I got a little ahead of myself because I did say, well, Joe Flacco didn't play most of the third quarter, but in regard is, he played well there, and then I just felt like, you know, he brought us back in Cincinnati. I mean, he's been done some good, but you're kidding yourself if this team was going to go toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs offense with Joe Flacco at the helm. But the receivers we have, they're not playmakers. I don't think so. But that's just how I see it.
Right.
I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean, you might see it differently. So I don't know. But what I've seen, I don't think so.
So now with this new run-first mentality for the offense, how is that going to compare to the Kansas City Chiefs? Is this going to be a little bit harder of a game for that type of play calling, or is that going to kind of fit well for Lamar?
Let me think about that one. So I think the play calling is going to benefit. And you're meaning like the play calling is like his packages or
– right, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to benefit Lamar more, especially with outfield. I think the game plan better suits Lamar right now than Joe, especially in the cold weather, on the hostile environment. I just don't see him back there relying on his arm trying to out-duel Pat Mahomes. I mean, if you do that, it's going to be very, very detrimental to the success of this team trying to win an Arrowhead. Now, this screams a big fat L, I mean, the Chiefs are number one seed. They're 10-2. They have weapons. I mean, they have one less than Kareem Hunt. But, you know, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Pat Mahomes, it's a trifecta, man. They're dangerous. And I'm not going to write them off, man. You know, Mahomes is having an MVP season. Kelce just basically had a career tight end game for the Chiefs that Tony Gonzalez never had. And Tony's a Hall of Famer. Kelce's probably could building the resume on his way. Tyreek Hill's dynamic and explosive. But I look at it this way. I know they got Spencer Ware. I think it's Spencer Ware and Shondrick West they signed back. But their running backs, I mean, they did amass 170 yards the last game against the Raiders. So they can run the ball without Kareem Hunt. But Kareem Hunt, the dude, the guy was quick and fast. Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, basically 1A and 1B because you have the speediness at both positions, and then you got the bruiser at the tight end with Kelce. So if you take away Kareem Hunt, I feel like obviously it bodes the Ravens well because you're not having to, you know, so I feel like if they key on Tyreek Hill and stop him, yes, the tight ends, how many times have the tight ends that killed the Ravens, especially this year and over the years? So the tight end, if you're loving the fantasy matchup, I mean, I got Tyreek Hill and Kelce on the same team, but you just got to roll with them, you know, you know, at this point. But I just feel like Kelce probably had the better day of the two. If Tyreek Hill gets past the secondary, it could be dangerous for the big play. Now, as a big play playmaker, another thing that's concerning is yards after catch, because Tyreek Hill catches it on a slant route or something, he could turn on the burners and go. So I think the Ravens, the key to victory here, stopping the big play. Keep everything in front of you. Keep everything small ball like they did against the Falcons. Julio didn't go off, did he?
No.
Not at all. Yeah. So if they can play small ball, I mean, the first drive was a little concerning. The Falcons were converting. They were digging the dunking, but the Ravens held them to 3 points, and it was that. So they figured him out. But again, you know, with the rest of defense holding Matt Ryan and Julio to 130 total yards and company to 130 yards, I feel like it's a recipe for, again, this is a loss. I'm not going to sit here and preach a W here for sure. It'd be great to see it. So obviously in my heart of hearts, I'm rooting for that. But I feel like a well-executed game plan, especially what they did in Atlanta and the games before at home, it could be a closer game than people think. I think it easily could be a one-score game or less. It could be less than a field goal. Who knows? I just feel like this is going to be – both teams are going to be at arm's length, and I don't think it's going to be high-scoring as people think, but could be wrong.
Now, something really scary that we've seen already this year is when the Ravens miss Marlon Humphrey out there. Marlon Humphrey's really come into his own, shown how good he can be at cornerback, and this week he's missed both practices Wednesday and Thursday. So all signs point to him not playing. Even though we do have Jimmy Smith, it seems like he's kind of on the mend and he's playing a little bit better than he was at the beginning. With Jimmy Smith coming into his own, but no Marlon Humphrey, that's definitely going to hurt this defense that's looked so dominant the last couple weeks.
I mean, it definitely will. I don't see any too major concern with Marlon being out. I haven't heard that he's been injury. It could have been a one-off. I've been looking at the injury part hard. I don't see that anywhere where he's going to miss time or it was going to be a dire strait kind of thing for Sunday. No, I don't see anything out of ordinary, but I'm just hoping that it's minor. But the Ravens aren't really putting anything out on that. But, dude, Marlon Humphrey, that would be not playing this game would
dude. I love the table slap. That was great.
Yeah, because I can just picture it now. He's not going to play, and you're like, man, we need every – because if he don't play, you might as well just throw in the towel because he did such a great job on Sunday – in some plays and breaking up passes, and he did the same against Oakland. And I remember, was he not the player who broke up the final pass at the Bengals 4th and 3 1, 2, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So, yeah, because I remember Harbaugh when he was doing his old good speech. He's like, "You want to throw up Marlon in the game on that? Good." So I remember that one. So no, that's why I stopped the table because I'm just like I'm hoping. Please not. I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking it's no minor thing, and then I slam the table to watch the Ravens come out tomorrow and say, like, he's really hurt. But I just don't see any major news on the injury, so I'm going to chalk it up as he wasn't there due to X, Y, or Z. Let's hope it's a good situation, not a bad situation, and let's just pray, man, because I tell you right now, I mean, yeah, the whole offensive game plan could be the topic, obviously, but the defense, man. they got to be rested and they got to stop these guys because these guys are potent. But it'll be a great measuring stick, even if it is a losing effort on Sunday for the Ravens. If they keep it close and play competitive football, it'll give you hope because the Ravens really got to win three out of their last four to probably take the crown. Because if the Ravens can go 3-1 and the Steelers trip up and go 2-2, the Ravens, oh, breaking news, Ravens would be AFC North champions and have a home playoff game. So after all that, you can have that. So who knows? And the schedule bodes well for the Ravens. This is their hardest game of the year left this weekend. Steelers are playing one of their easier ones. They go to Oakland. I know Ben's struggling on the road, and Oakland's Oakland. But, hey, they play the Saints and the Patriots back-to-back. So they, and then I think they end against Cincinnati. If I'm not, I have to look at their schedule. I don't know, because I know we play Cleveland at the end. Usually those divisional games are at the end. So they got the easier of the schedule. We got the easier of the schedule, but – you know, I don't know. I just think you got obviously got to take it one game at a time, but I just think the Ravens could, it's all setting up, but if there's just one and only loss, they got, and I'm not writing off the Chargers game. I mean, we'll get that in 3 weeks or, you know, 3 weeks from this week, you know, 2 weeks from this weekend, I should say, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I mean, that's going to be for all the marbles. Yeah, it's going to be a huge primetime game on a Saturday night. I'm glad the league kept that game. It's coming down to that. So, but yeah, just focusing on the Chiefs. We know how dangerous they are. Arrowhead, and I heard Jason LaCanfora bring this up this week. I just love listening to what he's got to say. He was on local radio this week, and he brought up a good point. And I kind of want to kind of touch on it, man. It was the fact that this would be Lamar's real true road test. I mean, yeah, he did win on the road. It's a road win. But the stadium was empty, right?
Yeah. We talked about that.
A lot of Ravens fans, right?
Correct.
It's different environment. The team, like I said, I think alluded to it earlier. You know, the fans give up on the team. You have Arrowhead. Fans are going to be raucous. They're the number one seed right now. They're trying to fend off. You know, the Texans are right on their heels. You have the Chargers keep winning. So, you know, they're right there, and the West isn't decided, and the number one and two seeds. So the Chiefs still have something to play for as well. So this is going to be that first true road test. And Arrowhead is dubbed it one of the hardest stadiums to play in the NFL on the road, loudest too. So even if Lamar keeps it close and they lose, or hey, if they win, no matter what, it's going to be, we're going to monitor it closely, because if he can ball out on the road, the kid's ready. Didn't he say he wanted to make the road his home?
That's right, he did.
Gotta love that with the kid, man. He's already being instinct. And but remember what they said earlier this year? You're not a true Raven until you earn your Raven wings when you beat Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't done that yet in his career.
And it took Joe Flacco a little while to figure that out as well and get his wings. But
it did.
Not expecting to do it your first chance out, but it's always good if you do. Before we get out of here, because I mean I agree with you. I think this is also going to be a Ravens loss. The Kansas City Chiefs are a fantastic team, but we'll see what happens. I do want to go off topic a little bit. It was announced who the eight cities were going to be that were going to be hosts for the XFL in 2020, and kind of surprising enough. Right down the road from us in Washington, D.C., there's going to be an XFL team. So they're going to be playing at the D.C. United Stadium at, I think it's called Audi Field. And, Josh, I don't know about you, man, but, like, you know, there's an arena football team that we tried to cover around here. They didn't really want it, didn't want us to cover it, or anyone really to cover it. They were kind of doing their own thing. But for an XFL team right down the street, I don't know. I might be going to a game or two. I mean, it might be fun. Last time around, the XFL, there was only one season to see. I kind of want to go and see what it's going to be all about in 2020.
I'm right with you, man. I'm excited for this league. I mean, and the fact that, you know, Vince failed the first time, he's going to learn. Now, speaking of Vince McMahon, he's doing it all by himself, no investors, and he's made WWE into a crazy world-renowned giant as it is today. So, and we know the success is there, and me and you are big wrestling enthusiasts. So I feel like, again, you know, I'm going into it with very low expectations, but because I really feel like these kind of gimmick leagues never really work out, but it is going to, and I think I talked about it on the Call Facebook page. You know, yeah, I did. So alluded to it. It's going to be refreshing to, you know, was going back and forth. It is going to be refreshing, as we talked about, to as was mentioned, to have some spring football, have a different viewing of football, because we got into talking about CFL, and I never watched CFL. So, I mean, I watched some arena football. So it's not the real same. It's a condensed, watered down version. It's a quick game, and it's very small and compact. But I'm all excited for it. And hey, you know, if we got to adopt another DC team like the Capitals as our quote unquote home game or home team, well, by so be it. So if it's successful in year one, or I'm still going to go. So when the schedule in the league gets set and we go out. Me and you, hey, I'm all down for taking a trip down to D.C. and catching in some XFL and seeing what it's all about and seeing what they make the difference is, if there are similarities to the NFL game, which it is, it's football. But I'm very intrigued this go around. I mean, I'm excited. A lot of people writing it off like, I'm not going to watch it. I think you are. You know, you say you're not, but you're going to watch that first game to get a taste. But whether it's successful or not, you know, Vince is taking a step of faith on his own. I commend him for it. I mean, business ventures – you know, they fail and they succeed. So you gotta do it. And so that's how I look at it. And I'm excited for it.
And if you want to listen to Josh and my own conversation about the XFL, I think it was like two summers ago or something like that, they announced it was going down. So you can go over to the archives, thecall.brandocash.com, and listen to that episode. It's about an hour and a half long, and we really do. We kind of dive deep into why the XFL might work nowadays. So 2020, eight teams. I believe Dallas, L.A., St. Louis is getting a team again, Washington, D.C., and I can't remember the other ones. But it's intriguing. Cities are buying in, and could be a thing down the road. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, Josh, have we covered everything for this Purple Friday preview?
We covered this one. Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and we are always sharing all kinds of fun stuff over on the Facebook page. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. Don't forget, it's Erase's Apple Podcast review as well. And that's pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, if you celebrate Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. I hope everybody's having a great celebration there. But Josh, get us ready. Kansas City on Sunday. Take us out the way you always do.
Yeah, man, Brandon, thank you so much, man. It's always fun to ramp up Ravens talk as we get through the week. Purple Friday preview. Man, I'm itching for Sunday. And every week building up, especially with this ride that we've been on, it's just that playoff atmosphere. We're talking that P-word playoffs, man. We're in the thick of it, half a game out of first place for a division title. We're sitting in the driver's seat for the sixth seed. We're looking pretty right now, but hey, it's not all done. Got four games here. Still got to take care of business. A big one on the road, man. Arrowhead, it's going to be tough. As we alluded to, they're down one less weapon, but it doesn't mean that they're less dangerous because this team, they're going to bring it. It's going to be the greatest test the Ravens have endured this year, especially with weathering the storm of the rookies, running backs, and quarterbacks of Edwards and Jackson. So, and with no Joe, it looks like again. And if it's a winning effort, look out, man. Ravens are going to be the toast of the town in the national media. If they keep it close, I feel it. If they get the doors blown off, we're back to square one, and we have to say, hey, we played a great team, and maybe they're not ready. But whatever happens on Sunday, Ravens got to bring it and been bringing it for the last 3 weeks and then some. And I feel like that's got to be the winning formula to take care of the Chiefs. Again, me and Brandon, you know, we agreed it's going to be a tough loss. I feel on the end of it when Sunday afternoon comes, but got to root our birds hard. Playoff pushes here. It's December football at its finest, and the Ravens are right in the middle of the battle. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high into Arrowhead.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.